The results have finally come in, and the winner is... Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by EEJournal.com. Hi there. I'm Amelia Dalton, your host of this here electronic engineering podcast. Now, before we get started, I just have to geek out a little more on this year's MEMS Executive Congress. You guys, I saw a video of the creation of a 3D printed autonomous car that was built in, wait for it, 24 hours. Yeah, you heard me right. An autonomous car that was 3D printed in 24 hours. So cool. In Friday's keynote called 3D Printed Autonomous Car, How Sensor Technology, Micromanufacturing, and Open Innovation is the Future of the Self-Driving Vehicle, the presenter Philip Rayer from Local Motors showed us some incredibly cool 3D printed cars, including a car that was featured, without their knowledge, in the movie Fast and Furious 6. But that's a story for another day. Stay tuned, because Local Motors will be on Fish Fry, whether they like it or not. Okay, so, oh, and one little bit of news. iBlades, the creator of the world's first smart case with built-in microprocessing technology, was the winner of this year's MEMS and Sensors Executive Congress Technology Showcase. So, congrats, you guys. Okay, so getting back to 3D printing. Let's bring in Rich Stump from Fathom. We're going deep into the world of 3D printing, my friends, so get ready.
Thanks for having me.
So, Rich, I have heard that Fathom helps designers and engineers make the unmakeable. So, how do you guys go about doing that? And how do you accelerate product development in ways that other companies can't?
So, Fathom is very interested in and aiming to change the way that products are being designed and manufactured using advanced technologies. So we really try to find unique applications where customers are trying to solve some complex problems where we can use technologies such as 3D printing or other software and hardware tools to solve these problems. So we look for areas that are a challenge and where we can integrate our expertise and some of these technologies to really do something unique for a customer in a high-value situation. So whether it's using 3D printing for complex geometries that you can't make any other way, let's say via traditional manufacturing methods, or looking at software tools or process improvements to really change the way that the products are being designed and manufactured to do something that couldn't be done previously.
All right, so let's talk about that in particular. How do you think manufacturing is integrating 3D printing into production further downstream than just the prototyping phase?
So I think in the past, 3D printing has mostly been used for prototyping. It's still the most widely used application of the technology. But we've seen this trend over the last, let's say, 36 to 48 months of 3D printing or additive manufacturing being used for more downstream applications. And when I say downstream, I mean more manufacturing applications. And so what customers are looking towards as the materials and processes have matured and the material costs have come down slightly and new entrants into the market from a hardware perspective, what it allows us to do is use these machines for unique applications for production. And so some examples of that would be maybe a jig or a fixture for doing some assembly or testing, or in often cases you see in different industries, the end-use part, which we call direct digital manufacturing, being made from these machines. So instead of using maybe a traditional tool, whether it's injection molding or maybe you're using CNC machining or other type of traditional manufacturing process, you're actually using the 3D printing machine to make the manufactured good. And that opens up a whole tremendous amount of applications to change the way that we are designing and manufacturing products. So it's something we're really excited about, but it adds a tremendous amount of value and actually shifts the whole industry and provides a ton of opportunities for engineers and product development folks to create and design and develop their products.
Cool. Okay, so let's talk about large-scale manufacturers. How are they using 3D printing and other additive technologies to achieve certain functionalities in products?
Well, I mentioned earlier this whole direct digital manufacturing trend, and that's where we're using 3D printing or additive methods to make the manufactured good. What it allows these companies to do is basically there's no cost of complexity. So with traditional manufacturing, typically has constraints that allow us to maybe not achieve some product possibilities. And with additive or 3D printing, we don't necessarily care about how complex the shape is. So this opens up a whole different problem set and the ability to design more effective and efficient products by using the what we call the freedom of design or freedom of complexity at no additional cost. So some of the large-scale manufacturers are actually looking to additive to really solve some high-value engineering and business problems. One example of that would be we use the DMLS, the direct metal laser sintering, so these are the metal printers, to print what we call conformal cooling inserts. And so in injection molding, let's say you have a high cavitation, a 12-cavity injection molding tool making millions of parts, you want to optimize your cycle time, so the amount of time that it takes to produce a part each time, as well as the amount of scrap that you have, that you're minimizing the amount of scrap that is coming from that tool. So we print these little conformal cooling inserts and pop them into the cavities, and we're not limited to traditional cooling angles. We can actually create really dynamic and complex cooling designs that efficiently cool the parts. So there's been some examples where we've removed 100% of the scrap and gone down to zero scrap and reduced cycle times up to 30 or 40%, which can save companies millions of dollars. So these large-scale manufacturers are really looking to the complexity of using additive and 3D printing to solve some unique problems that can change their business.
Okay, cool. So in addition to 3D printed tooling, you guys also do injection molding. Now, I must admit, I'm not a big expert in injection molding technologies. So tell my audience more about 3D printed tooling and injection molding.
Yeah, so I mentioned the conformal cooling application as it relates to injection molding, but there's a number of different applications where 3D printing is being used for other injection molding methods. One, for example, is actually instead of machining, because all tools or injection mold tools are typically machined, and so if we can use 3D printing to make the mold, we can achieve some different results. So one example of that we use here at Fathom is 3D printed tooling inserts. So instead of machining the insert, which could take a couple weeks to produce injection molded parts, we can actually print the mold and within a day or so be molding a low volume amount of plastic parts really quickly. So the angle there is instead of taking 2 or 3 weeks to produce injection molded parts, you can do it in 1 or 2 days, which drastically compresses the product development time for customers. So that's one example. Another example would be, I mentioned the direct metal laser sintering, and this is the process, the 3D printing or additive process using metal powders to sinter the material together to actually make metal parts. Well, in this case, we can actually make production tools, and instead of taking a long time to make production tools, we can actually produce them very quickly. It's a compression of time solution, as well as we can achieve more complex geometries than we can with typical machining.
So the medical and dental industries commonly use 3D printing because of their respective needs for custom, hyper-specific products. Do you see mass customization spreading to other industries?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is a trend that we've seen over the past couple of years as the technology matures and becomes more into production applications. I think you've seen in the dental medical market for some time now 3D printing being used because each human or each of us have specific geometries and need for customized, whether it's a drill guide in surgery or the use of aligner for your teeth. We're all individual and we all different, so 3D printing maps to medical and dental very well. Well, we're seeing that in the other industries, even sometimes in the consumer goods, where we've seen this as a trend in other areas where we all want customized specific products. And so the beautiful thing about 3D printing is each product we make can be different than the one previously made. So that opens up a whole different types of applications if it makes sense given the cost of the good and the type of good it is. So we see it not only in medical and dental, which has been around for some time, but now reaching into more aerospace and other types of applications, even consumer goods, where now instead of being products made in Asia or high volume factory, we're seeing more localization approaches. So the goods being made close to where they're being distributed or close to where they're being the consumer is, to provide not only localization, but provide something that's very unique to that consumer, whether it's, let's say, a customized earbud that takes a scan of your ear and then creates a mold of that and then 3D prints the actual geometry that you would use in your ear, or, you know, all different types of applications being used for customized goods.
Okay, Rich, so what are some ways that enterprise and consumer 3D printing differ? I've always wondered about that. And do you think they are at different stages in industry maturity?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a lot of data out there, and I'm sure, you know, when we first started in the industry, no one really knew what 3D printing was. And then we went through this uber hype cycle, which bred a lot of awareness to the industry, which was great. But there was this overhype of, you know, the 3D printing technology getting into everyone's home and using these tools in a way that people thought were really exciting. Well, that didn't transition to reality. So there was this overhype several years ago, or a couple years ago, and that didn't pan out. So then there was this somewhat crash of the industry, and everything's kind of normalized a little bit. So what we see is there's really two different distinct markets. There's the industrial applications and there's the consumer applications. Fathom focuses strictly on the industrial applications where there's a tremendous amount of value. And that's not to say there's no value in the consumer applications. It's just going to take some time for these technologies to mature to be used at that consumer level. There was a lot of startups and companies thinking that they could use 3D printing for all these consumer applications, and it really didn't pan out given the current landscape of the technology and the cost base of the tools. So what I think is the enterprise level, the industrial applications, have been around since really the 1980s and continue to grow. And as we look for more manufacturing production applications, then there's a lot more that can be opened up as far as the growth of the industry. On the consumer side, there's a lot of consumers, a lot of people out there, but the technology doesn't map to the consumers today as well as people had hoped for. So it'll continue to develop, but for us, we're passionate and we're really interested in the industrial market.
Okay, Rich, so what do you think are the most cutting-edge applications of 3D printing right now? What are you the most excited about? And where do you see 3D printing going from here?
We get really excited about manufacturing applications, and I know that sounds pretty broad, but as we look to the factories of the future and what these factories look like and our demands as consumers and what type of products we want to see and how the distribution supply chain will be disrupted with some of these technologies, I think that's where the amazing opportunity lies and thing we're really passionate about. So I spoke a little bit earlier about decentralized manufacturing and toolless manufacturing, not having to invest so much money up front to make a product by making an expensive manufacturing tool like injection molding. Some of these tools can be tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars each. And so the barrier of entry for product development is very high today, or not so high today now with the evolvement of 3D printing. So as we look to the future and what the whole landscape looks like with additive technologies, I think it becomes really exciting on what problems will solve, and as consumers, what new products we'll see and how they'll be customized and be unique to each individual, and all the things that we see that some folks had thought about when the consumer market started to increase pretty greatly. I think that'll transition into manufacturing applications, and I think that's really exciting for us, is seeing how these new materials and new processes can open up the opportunities for product development.
Okay, Rich, one last question. Now, we were talking earlier about something really cool called the Nano Dimension Machine. So tell my audience more about that.
Yeah, it's a technology we're really excited about. So it's a company from Israel that's created a very unique 3D printing machine that actually prints circuit boards. This is going to change the electrical product development cycle greatly, because instead of going through the traditional manufacturing process of making a circuit board, we can 3D print it. We can create very complex circuitry in hours rather than days or weeks. So today, the primary application for the machine is mostly for prototyping. So as a customer is developing a new product and designing a new circuit board, instead of waiting days, weeks, months for prototypes of high layer boards or complex circuitry, you can actually print the boards. But what we're really excited about in the future, you can imagine, as we start to print some of these electronic components, we can embed components into geometries for some very unique applications, whether it's wearables or several different ways we can use embedded electronics in different shapes to achieve different results. So we talked earlier about the manufacturing landscape, mostly on the mechanical side, but as we look at the electrical side, I think some of these tools are going to really change some of the performance of what we can create in a product and be able to not only customize the shape of the product to the consumer or whatever the application will be, but also now the electronic function of it to solve some problems that we couldn't solve with traditional ways to make electronic components.
All right. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me, Rich. This was super cool.
Yeah, thank you. We really appreciate it. I appreciate your time today.
Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And hey, if Google Plus is your thing, you can also join our circle on Google Plus. And we have a YouTube channel, keyword EE Journal, which is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series, and our video series called On the Scene. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can grab our Fish Fryin' RSS feed or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Fryin' page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or even the best geeky hotspot in your city, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of November 18th, 2016, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.